Welcome to the Eric in the Morning Podcast on 101.9 The Mix Chicago. All right, take it away, Eric.
I just heard from Violetta.
You did?
I don't think she's listening, though.
Oh.
It's just in relationship to, still sick, still sick.
She did listen yesterday because she was...
she really enjoyed the show.
She was effusive about how great the show sounded.
Which I don't think I would be saying that. it's her big birthday weekend. Top three things, had she been here, we probably should have done for her birthday, but we didn't. Thankfully, she's not here, so we don't feel badly.
All right.
Top three things. You ready?
Yeah.
In at number three, what should we probably have done for her birthday, Bill?
That is a complete DVD collection of the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls on DVD.
That would be perfect.
She does enjoy that.
Yeah.
And who doesn't enjoy a DVD collection now?
Right. Kind of going with the retro theme, retro format on a retro show.
At number two, Jim, had she been here, we probably should have done this.
I've gotten her a battery-powered cooler with a built-in frozen margarita maker.
Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, that's true.
Let's write that down to forget that next year. Hold on. Swanee's like, you're assuming we're going to be here next year. We'll be doing, if we're not here, we'll be doing that kick-ass podcast.
Right.
Yeah. That's what everybody's doing now, the kick-ass podcast.
Everyone.
And finally, in at number one, had Violetta been here, probably the best thing we could have done for her birthday is what, Casey?
Whatever the prize is for winning this list.
That's exactly right. We'll just give her one of those. She would have won what you just did. A delicious Lou Malnati's pizza.
Oh, my God. That's a great birthday. That's
better. Fantastic.
That's better than Golden Girls DVDs.
Totally.
I've never seen Golden Girls, so I agree.
Yeah. Anybody listening who with the strangest thing on your to-do list? Dan, don't you dare hang up or I will come get you. You got to hear what Dan's doing.
Okay. Can't wait.
George Clooney reportedly, his wife Amal, leaves him a to-do list every single day. Mm. He's had an issue becoming a bit of a Hollywood lazy ass.
Mm-hmm.
He lays around the house and watches Dr. Phil all day. She's like, would you just do something? He's like what? So she started making him lists.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Okay. Anybody, give him a task.
Anybody listening who with the strangest to-do list item? Hi, Kyle.
How's it going? Good morning.
Good morning. On your to-do list this weekend.
So I've got to get up early tomorrow and shoot a snowblower YouTube video.
A snowblower YouTube video. Are you some type of professional?
Well, it's kind of a side thing that I do. I'm actually a teacher. I'm on my way to work right now. But my YouTube channel is a lawn care channel, but it got sponsored by a snowblower company. So I got to get up early. I got the snow just right. Got to take advantage of that golden hour. So
wait a minute. You got a sponsored YouTube channel? How do I get one of those?
Exactly.
Right?
Can you work for us?
Exactly. I wish, right? Well, Lake House Lawn Care, check it out if anybody's interested.
Now, Whip was just talking about the gold package because Nikki from the Midday Show is going to be joining us for a little bit here, coming in shortly, is looking for a roof raker. Is that part of the service you provide as well?
Well, you never know. I mean, why not? I could get my leaf blower up on the roof and maybe go that route with it.
See, I'd be worried about breaking my neck.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Kyle. He's got a YouTube channel. Sponsored.
I heard.
Guys, like Menards or something sponsored.
He's great.
Hi there, Samantha, on your to-do list.
I need to take my Christmas tree down.
Yeah, it's time. it really is time.
It is.
Yeah, it's tomorrow's February 20th.
I know.
What's the over-under on that actually happening?
I just work a lot. I have two Christmas trees up at work, too, that I haven't taken down, and everyone keeps getting on me about it. I'll eventually get to them.
It's time.
Yeah, it is.
Those have to come down. All right, hold on. Listen to this. We were wondering, Dan, anybody listening who has the strangest thing on their to-do list this weekend, you will be doing what?
I will be taking a raccoon down to Kankakee.
You're driving a raccoon to Kankakee.
Correct. I do rehabilitation for wildlife, and I do it indoors.
Uh-huh.
So I need to do a soft release, especially due to the weather and all the snow, so he can find his food sources, water sources, shelter sources. So it has to be a soft release where he has a shelter and can go in and out as he pleases. Closest place I found is with a rehabilitation place is Kankakee.
Now you say you're involved with rehabilitating raccoons. Has he been drinking too much? Is that the problem? He's got to go to rehab for that, or what's he's got a bum leg? What's wrong with the raccoon?
Apparently, it looks like he might have been attacked by a coyote or something. He had an injury on his back. He's missing his front pointer finger. So we got him all patched up.
Raccoons have pointer fingers?
They have fingers.
Yeah, they have fingers. They have disposable thumbs. That's why they're able to get in and out of things so easily.
Wow. How big is the little fella?
Oh, he's normal size. He was born probably last year, I'm going to say. A little less than a year, but they grow rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually stay with their mom for about up to a year. But if they get separated or whatnot, they're on their own and they're orphaned, then they got to be taken care of.
And so you'll be loading him up. Now, I assume you load him up in a cage, like in the back of the truck. You're not buckling him into the seatbelt in the passenger seat or anything, right?
Correct. Not in the old child care seat.
Yeah.
I'll have him in a large dog carrier.
Not many people know, Kyle, that is the town motto, the town slogan down there in Kankakee. Kankakee, home of rehabilitated raccoons.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the tourist board down there loves it.
Right.
Hey, is there any – I'm going to put you on hold here, Dan. We would love to find out on Monday if the raccoon relocation was a success, A.
Sounds good.
And B, is there any way you could take a picture upon your arrival to Kankakee of you and Ricky the raccoon?
Absolutely.
And then send that to us, and then we'll post that. Maybe if you take one on the way down, we'll post it like over the weekend, and we'll find out Monday about it.
Sounds good. I actually brought 5 down there early fall,
See?
And I have pictures of those. I can send you those as well.
Oh, wow.
That'd be great. I told you, Kankakee, home of the rehabilitated raccoon.
Yeah, also, maybe Ricky can find some buddies.
All right, that's great. All right, hold on there, Dan. I want to hear the rest of that story.
That's great.
On Monday, raccoon rehabilitation. I didn't even know there was a thing. Dr. Most, your chief medical officer with Northwestern Medicine at Central DuPage Hospital. Hey, Dr. Most, Doc, sorry to bother you.
It is never a bother. You know that.
Now, this is a question completely off topic. Normally, we discuss with you the COVID situation. By the way, Violetta is out and had the rapid test and came back negative and is waiting on the results of her second test before the company will let her come back to work. Do you think she's probably in the clear, or do you think she's likely poolside in Cabo?
I would go with B before I went with A.
Okay.
She's probably taking this as an opportunity that it's Friday and she just got a 3-day weekend.
And it's her birthday weekend. I mean, it doesn't take a mathematician to figure that out.
She won't be back till Tuesday. Sorry.
For sure. Yeah. How long does it take to get that second result? Are the first, like, rapid tests kind of iffy?
Yeah, they're not as accurate as the PCR test that we do, the second test. The first one we can get back results in 15 minutes. So the second one can take a couple hours, but we usually tell people it's going to be a 24 to 48-hour turnaround time. With the number of tests we're doing now, we're really turning that around in just a few hours.
So Uh-oh. She's lying because she says she hasn't gotten it for 2 days.
You're not helping her.
So she's lying. She's definitely in Cabo.
Oops. Can you give me her number again?
Yeah. All right. So we'll find out how that goes. Now, our second question. So we saw this on the news earlier, and Whip's been reporting on it. You're familiar with what's going on in Texas. It's the end of the world down there, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And the reports say that it's gotten so cold that calves' ears are now falling off and that ranchers are having to duct tape their ears to the sides of their head to keep them from getting frostbitten and falling right off their heads. So I guess my question to you is, and I wanted to find out, if I stayed out in cold weather long enough, could I frostbite my ears to the point they'd fall right off my head?
Well, not your total ear, but certainly, our fingers, toes, ears, the tips of our nose, that's the places that we obviously get frostbite the more frequently.
Uh-huh.
So you've probably seen people that lose their fingers from frostbite, so that certainly happens. And you can certainly lose a major portion of your ear just because the tissue dies
right. And
there's not enough blood supply. So, yeah, you can definitely lose. Your ear won't fall off, but you'll certainly have potential to lose a good portion of your ear just from dead tissue.
Okay, so perhaps these calves have been out for so long that no one has taken them to the vet to get their ear fixed, and then it just gets so frostbitten, poof, right off its head.
Correct. If you look at those ears, very thin, kind of floppy down, so yes, certainly they have very poor blood supply. What happens is the tissue has water in it, and that water freezes, and once it freezes, it breaks up the tissues, does damage to the blood vessels, does not get blood supply, the tissue dies. So, yeah, in those ears, you could see that they would essentially, unfortunately, fall off.
All right, and one other. Oh, I'm sorry, Whip. Did you have a question?
Well, just a little bit of a frostbite question, because how cold does it have to be, and how long do you have to be out there? Because we have this guy in my neighborhood. Everybody knows him in
this
our neighborhood.
Marco.
No, this is just a guy. I don't actually know his name, but everyone in the neighborhood knows him because he runs with just shorts and some tennis shoes, even when it's probably 20 degrees outside, literally. I mean, he is shirtless in shorts.
Shirtless.
Shirtless in shorts. No kidding. And
he's
he
got
does
Dame
it
Bramage for sure.
All winter long, no matter what, almost. So I always wonder, like, is he putting himself at any risk, or is it just like, okay, if he can handle it, whatever.
Yeah, you know, he's probably putting himself at a little risk, but individuals like that have great circulation because they're athletes. They do those things. The people that we get concerned about are the people who are sedentary, standing around, not moving when they're outside.
Exactly.
Me. You know, right. people who smoke, you know, those are the ones that we're going to be the most concerned about. So certainly on days when it's below zero, if you don't have great circulation, it does not take long for you to get either frost nip or frostbite. And I'll tell you the other thing. What's the first thing you do when you come in the house after you've been outside and you're cold?
Drink.
Everybody rubs their hands together, right?
Right.
To, like, warm them up.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst things you can do if there's any chance of frostbite, because you want those to warm more slowly. You don't want to do more damage by putting those. And don't run them under hot water. Some of the simple things that we do all the time that people don't understand, you can do more damage than letting them thaw themselves.
End of the world. And one other quick note, since while we have you, did you see the story, and this might explain what's going on here, the story out of Florida. Whip has begun dressing like an elderly man because he saw the story in Florida of the 30-something girls who were trying to dress like old ladies and go through the drive-thru to get vaccinated, and they got caught. Are you guys seeing that kind of stuff at all? Like somebody walks in and they're pretending to be 80 and they're actually 33?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the problems that they've had at these states where it's just been a mass free-for-all, come on and we'll do it. Fortunately, here in Illinois, we've really been going by appointments only. So we know you. We know your date. We know your birth date. We know everything about you.
And
so we haven't had the free-for-all yet.
Right, right. All right, well, that's good. And do you have a busy day around there vaccinating people?
No vaccinations today. You know, we're doing the second round. We have some tomorrow. But really, the number of new doses in Illinois has dropped so dramatically for this week and next week that really we're doing a lot of second doses and not primary, which is kind of a huge frustration for us.
Sure.
So hopefully we're going to see those increase here shortly.
All right, Dr. Most, you're always the best, and we appreciate you being available to us.
You got it, you guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right. Well, tell Violetta when she comes back all tanned that she'll have to call you for a reason as to why that might have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to call me a Greyhound bus driver,
right.
I think.
It's a total reaction to my medication. There's a tanning reaction.
Exactly.
To it.
So weird.
Something like that. Thank you, Dr. Most. You're the best. Nikki's with us today because Violetta is in Honduras with a fake COVID thing going.
On her birthday weekend.
Yeah, it's her birthday weekend, and suddenly she's gone Thursday, Friday.
Amazing.
And Nikki agreed to come in early. Nikki, how long have you been married?
Oh, my gosh, 19 years.
Oh, wow.
In July.
And I'm going to take you back to the 1950s when you first got married.
I was a child bride.
Right.
Child bride.
When you couldn't keep your hands off each other. This survey is called Who's Best in Bed? Who's Best in Bed? And it was found that, this is a two-parter, I'm going to read you the sentence, and your job is to fill in the blanks, folks, at 312-233-1019. According to the survey for Who's Best in Bed, men with bountiful blanks and blank eyes are the best in bed. So it's bountiful something and what color eyes?
Men.
Men. I don't know about women, I just got the men here right now.
Bountiful somethings just gives me a different thing in terms of women altogether. So.
Right. They call them, and I'm reading this too, I'm not making this up, they call them assassins in the sack, these guys.
please don't say that again.
So happy I got up for this.
And welcome to the show, Nikki. Okay. Men with bountiful blank and blank eyes, what color eyes, are the best in bed, according to this survey. You've got to get both those answers right. All right? 312-233-1019. Tell us about who you believe are the assassins in the sack. See if you ladies agree with this. Because it was, as it turns out, Whip, Nikki, a survey of 4,550 women.
Pretty big survey.
Yeah. to list the physical attributes of men who are the best. The assassins in the sack, they call them. Men with bountiful blank and blank eyes are the best. I thought this might be, you know, I thought maybe the second part of it would be okay, but the first part would be hard to answer. Our phone lines are jammed. Very first caller got it.
Wow.
Very first. So she must know what she's talking about. Alexa.
Hello.
All right, let me read you the sentence and you fill in the blank, okay?
Okay.
In a survey, men with bountiful
beards
and what color eyes?
Brown.
Are the best in bed is exactly right.
Yay!
Now, are you speaking from your own personal experience?
No, my husband has a beard, but not brown eyes.
Okay, all right. And okay. I'm assuming he's an assassin.
Oh, totally.
He's a machine, a love machine. How big of a, like when it says bountiful beards, what does that mean to you, Alexis? How big is a bountiful beard?
I feel like full maybe and I don't know, luscious, not long or anything, but nice to know.
Right, like not Duck Dynasty, but more.
Oh, yeah, no.
Gotcha.
Like the brawny man, the brawny guy.
Like brawny. Although he's got more of a five. Does he have a beard?
He has a bountiful mustache, I thought.
Or like a lumberjack. Oh, lumberjack.
Yeah. Bountiful stash.
That's what I was thinking, lumberjack.
Lumberjack.
73% of participants claimed their best partner ever had a bountiful beard. 71% said brown eyes are the best. Also, Alexis, men sporting piercings and tattoos did really well. Does your husband have any of those?
Nope.
We both have tattoos, so yeah, he definitely has tattoos.
Oh, okay. Any piercings?
No piercings. Oh, thank God.
You don't agree with that, Nikki?
No, I'm not into that.
Oh, no, I didn't know who you were talking to.
Gotcha. That's fine. Also in the mix are broad-shouldered men. 68% of women said that was a key component into being an assassin. Your husband, Alexis, big broad shoulders?
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's 6'5", beefy.
Oh, wow. How big are his feet?
Big.
Oh, okay. Now, you've heard the old adage, right? Alexis, big feet. You know what I mean, right?
Big socks, yeah.
Right. Big socks.
Oh, I thought you said big sauce.
Yeah, I
was really confused.
Both work.
Yeah. 53% of women, so just over half, claimed that the most skillful lovers have small feet. Small feet. So the small-footed guy actually finds a little love.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Right.
Special installment of Story Friday. Ba-da-bop, wow, which usually happens after 9 o'clock, but we have so much going on after 9 o'clock, we don't have the time. Billie Eilish, who used to hate being recognized, says, quote, "I effing love fame now."
Really?
Which I got to tell you, I'm actually relieved to hear a celebrity say that. I think we're all tired of the fame is such a burden storyline that celebrities try to feed us, yet it pretty much gives them a life we'd all dream of, right?
Yeah.
And she said she, you know, didn't come from a ton.
The parts I hated 3 years ago, says Billie, those are the parts that I'm digging now. Fame in general. I used to just despise it. I hated everything about it. I hated being recognized. I don't really know what changed, but I effing love fame now. I love it.
That's nice. Yeah. I we've posted the picture a couple times, like 2-3 years ago at Lollapalooza when she was brand new and I think unknown other than to the diehards.
Right.
I did have a chance to meet her and get a picture taken with her. And
she was like 11 at the time.
Yeah,
wasn't
so
she?
I mean, obviously that wasn't a regular thing for her yet, but she seemed to be enjoying it.
Justin Bieber's TikTok Valentine's Day concert breaks records.
Okay.
Anybody watch that?
Mm-mm.
Awesome.
No.
There we go. That's what we're looking for.
So he did New Year's Eve, and he did Valentine's
That's
Day.
That's great.
He's going to celebrate all the holidays with a virtual concert.
Well, he broke a TikTok record, so he must know what he's doing.
Yeah. We can't argue with the Biebs.
Another guy who knows what he's doing, Donald Glover, has made an 8-figure deal with Amazon. 8 figures.
8 figures.
Good for him to develop his own Prime Video channel. Donald Glover's getting his own channel.
8 figures?
He's like Oprah, like OWN.
I love
but
him.
But on Amazon. Yeah, he's great. He's great. Anna Faris is launching a new party game, Deal Breakers, inspired by a popular segment on her podcast.
Okay.
You know, we've done Deal Breakers on this show for years, so Anna Faris is ripping us off.
She's the one from Mom, right?
Yes.
And I think she just left that, and now they're canceling it from what I saw.
Right. And she at one time was married to Chris Pratt.
Pratt.
Is that right? One of the Chris's.
Oh.
The Weeknd, did you like his halftime show of the Super Bowl, Nikki?
I did. I mean, it's what a weird situation he's dealing with, obviously. But I think, you know, he tried to... The whole mirror thing was for us at home to try to, you know,
well,
experience
it. I think for all the haters, and there were a lot of them, that something you forgot is... Can you imagine the rules the NFL imposed on him for what he had to do creatively, what he wasn't allowed to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the parameters with what he had versus the parameters of what every other performer has had were light years apart. Plus, The Weeknd spent $7 million of his own dollars on it.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I never understood what people didn't like. But
I think people are going to look back and think that's a cool performance.
The Weeknd gets custom diamond Super Bowl ring after the halftime show.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not the official ring like the ones the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got, but it's a one-of-a-kind piece designed by celebrity jeweler Elliot Eliante. That's where you get your stuff, isn't it, Whip?
Elliot Ellie, good old double E.
Yep. Who's worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood. Entertainment Tonight says Chris Noth's character, Mr. Big, on Sex and the City, will not be back in the new one. No Mr. Big.
Hmm.
Is he on a show right now? Is he on a Law and Order
or
any of those?
Is it Noth, by the way? Chris
I think it
Noth.
Might be Noth.
I think you're right.
But it looks like Noth.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's Noth, but I said Noth. Who cares? Drew Barrymore says her kids don't like her films. They call them mom movies. Well, finally something Drew Barrymore's kids and I can agree on.
I'm trying to think. Is it, well,
I can't even think of a movie. She's
never been
well,
kissed.
I mean, you could eat. Well, E.T. We can go there.
Oh,
well,
50 first dates. 50 first dates.
Okay.
Wedding Singer.
Wedding. There you go. There you go.
A lot of Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
There you go. Amy Schumer says she's evolved to having no child care after the nanny left, and is now asking for tips, which is good because I don't think we really want to. Along the lines of what we just said with Billie Eilish, the last thing we really want is a celebrity complaining that they don't have, like, four nannies.
Right.
Right? And how hard it is being a parent. You really don't want to hear Amy Schumer complain how hard it is to be a parent, do you?
Timberlake did that, and it backfired big time.
You don't want to do that.
He should probably lay low for a couple of...
I think you will. Yeah, Whip has... You should know, Nikki, Whip has a Justin Timberlake hater thing.
No, I don't. Yes, I don't. Does. No.
Oh, my God. He is so up in JT's backyard.
That is inaccurate.
Oh, boy.
I have known Whip for so long, and we hang out on middays, and there are so many things I'm learning in this
Pitbull,
short amount of time.
He is misrepresenting my Justin Timberlake feelings.
Pitbull loves him. JT hates him.
Wow. No. Take notes.
Aaron Rodgers' fiancée, Shailene Woodley, has embraced Green Bay life.
That
is a blatant lie.
Yeah, you can
That's
stop that right now.
I will stake large money that next fall, Shailene isn't hanging out in Green Bay all fall, and she sure as hell isn't there right now.
No. I don't care. You pick the nicest day of the year, she still isn't going to be hanging out in Green Bay.
Rodgers shocked the NFL world when he revealed he's engaged while accepting his NFL MVP award. Some sources close to the quarterback were just as stunned, while others saw it coming. One source told E! News that the two were introduced last summer and knew early on that it was something special and different and something they had never experienced in other relationships. Big money, she's not hanging out in Green Bay.
No way.
No way. Celebrity Dating Game is coming. Zooey Deschanel and Michael Bolton will co-host.
Okay, I'm in.
That's amazing.
I actually will watch because of that. I would normally ignore it, but I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's a pretty good hook.
The Celebrity Dating Game for ABC, the network announced yesterday, so keep your eye out for that one. How about this? Here's kind of breaking news, speaking of quarterbacks. One getting married, one almost got divorced. A big one. Giselle Bundchen allegedly considered divorcing Tom Brady in 2020, say
what?
Sources. Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, 2020, tough year. He agreed, she and Tom talked it through, and they agreed on a compromise. He agreed to let Giselle call all the shots when it came time to set new rules for their marriage. He wasn't allowed to party with teammates because Giselle wants him home with the family. Brady had given Giselle the passcode to his phone. She can take a peek and really see he's not working or goofing around with his teammates when he says he's not.
Ow.
According to sources.
Oh, that sounds like there's more to that story. See, everything looks perfect on the surface. You never know.
There you go. Speaking of perfect on the surface and you never know, Blake Shelton has allegedly become overly cocky since moving to L.A. with Gwen Stefani for The Voice. Says a source, he's gotten pretty cocky and boasts about being friends with A-listers like Jimmy Fallon, Ellen DeGeneres, and Jennifer Lopez. Of course, people know they're really Gwen's friends. The guy has no idea how insensitive he can be. Everyone's hoping he'll somehow get back to his Oklahoma roots. He's total Hollywood now. His former friends cringe when he flashes his whitened teeth and designer cufflinks.
They make designer cufflinks for those jean jackets?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. And finally, on your Celebrity Story Friday. Hi. There she is, my girl. Jennifer Love Hewitt once had a super drunk night with Betty White. How fun would that be, huh?
That'd be amazing.
That's awesome.
A super drunk. What's Betty White, 99?
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally.
Like, she is 99.
Yeah, 99.
Appearing on the Drew Barrymore show to talk about movies they don't like, Jennifer Love Hewitt opened up about her friendship with Betty White, jokingly revealing she thought she was going to kill the national treasure during a drunken stupor. One of the only times that I've been, like, super drunk was with Betty in public, and she veered off into a bush. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to kill national treasure Betty White.
Oh, my God.
She loves to end her nights out with you by eating gummy bears. I think the normal kind, not the special kind. She's everything you want her to be and more, said Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's the best, and I just love Betty White to pieces.
I love her more now.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. You keep hearing these stories of people driving off of the road, not just the road, but the overpasses and landing down below. Like, I can't remember. It's in 10 years, I can't remember it happening at all.
I don't either.
And now there's been a bunch of them, including one within the past week on 355, where Kevin Ramos drove off of I-355 over the retaining wall and landed on Lake Street below. A single vehicle crash Tuesday morning. He suffered fractured ribs, but was otherwise largely unscathed, which is a freaking miracle.
Yeah.
And he's on the phone with us right now. I don't even know where to begin. Hi there, Kevin. First of all, thanks for joining us. How you feeling?
No, thanks for having me. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, it kind of hurts to get out of bed and whatnot, put on shoes, but, I mean, I'm driving. I'm working.
It hurts to put on shoes, yeah.
Okay.
Kevin, I'm gonna ask you to go back to the moment, because none of us can even imagine what you have lived through and experienced. When you drove off the ramp, or off the road at 355 and launched over the ramp and landed on Lake Street, many people say these circumstances, it feels like it's going in slow motion. Did it?
Yeah, it definitely does. The best way I could describe it is there's like a book called The Power of Now where it like describes that when you're in the present moment, everything else fades, you can't think. And like that's literally how it is. As like events like this start happening, you kind of like can't think.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I remember thinking, like actually having thoughts, it's like once I started like the snow that was on the concrete that was kind of like projecting me upwards towards the cement to go off the rail.
Right.
That's the only time that once the truck started kind of pitching forward, because at first, you know, it's pitched, the windshield's pitched upwards, so you can't see where you're falling down. You don't know if there's a road below or if it's just like more grass.
Oh, God.
So once it started pitching kind of down, I realized there was a road because I could probably see like the end of Lake Street. And I was like, man, at that point, I started wondering whether there was going to be a car below.
So your first thought was not for yourself. It was thinking you're going to land on somebody else's car driving on Lake Street below you.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to fall, you know, in your mind, you're like, well, I'm going to probably, something bad going to happen to me, right. But I hope it doesn't happen to somebody else.
Right, right. Now, do you see, as you're going over the guardrail there, and you mentioned that you see the road below, are you thinking, here I go, this is going to hurt, uh-oh, is that what's in your head?
No, actually.
Really?
I mean, yeah, you're so in the moment that you could barely think. You're just kind of like going with it. And, you know, there was like an interview that I did yesterday where the camera person, they did like they're driving through 355, and with their camera, they kind of swerved to the right. Okay. And it shocked me because that's exactly how the incident started happening. Like, it just kind of started slowly. I was in the furthest left lane. And it started slowly going to the right, and out of nowhere, I spun out. And on the second spun out, it just so happened to be going forward, going off the ramp.
Was it the snow that was piled up on the side that created like a ramp that launched you over the guardrail?
Yes, the snow. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it happened. If that snow wouldn't have been there, I predict that my truck would have kind of just slid across it, you know?
Right.
As opposed to going up.
Okay, so when you go over and you're plummeting down and it's all happening in slow motion, then you hit. Are you knocked goofy? Are you thinking, like, do you do that check where you take the breath and go, can I move my arms and legs? Oh, my God, I'm still alive.
All I could feel was my ribs in extreme pain. And it was pretty fast, the bystanders, because I landed about 4 to 6 feet from cars. So, yeah, I might have not hit people, but I was darn close to hitting a few cars.
Sure.
So when those people came out, you know, everybody's like calling the police and this, and all I could think about is my ribs. Like, it was so painful. It still hurts quite a bit, but
right.
I'm managing.
So when rescue came, were they shocked that you were still alive? Were there like paramedics going, I can't believe that you're in one piece?
Yeah. Everybody from the paramedics. When I went into the hospital, they took me to Glen Oaks. As I was going into like the room, there must have been 10 to 15 different like doctors and like different people, and you could tell that they were preparing for like major surgery. Mm-hmm. And as I went in, it was kind of like almost like an awkward silence, like, whoa, is this the guy that just flew off an overpass?
Right.
Because, you know, it was shocking.
Right. Well, it shocked all of us. Now, Whip had said something a second ago. We were talking about you leading up to this, Kevin, that now your next main concern now, not only are you recovering from your ribs, is getting your Jeep to Gerber to see if it's... Are you telling me this thing is not totaled?
Oh, no, it's totally totaled. 100%.
No, I think
it's totaled.
Yeah, you had texted me that you're getting an estimate this morning, and that's why I thought maybe you meant on the
I can
car
buff that,
that
out.
Went over? Or an
no,
estimate
I'm a
on something else.
I'm giving estimates.
Oh,
you're giving estimates. Aha. There's where
we
went wrong.
We thought you were taking it to Gerber. Like, hey, can you buff that out right there? Okay.
That's awesome.
All right.
Well, that
Kevin.
Makes sense.
Yeah, in the estimate, it's like when the inspector went, because, you know, Progressive took it, would not, and the inspector goes, and then they sent us an email with the inspection, you know, being a total loss, and it says, obvious total loss.
Right. What, are we nuts?
Right.
You know what they say about a Progressive, Whip? What is it?
Nothing is normal, and everything is weird.
We're proving that. Kevin, I am so grateful and glad that you are okay. Thank you for taking a couple moments and sharing your story. I hope your ribs feel better soon.
Thank you. Pleasure's mine, man.
Appreciate Bye-bye. It, buddy. What a nice guy.
Oh, he's great.
What a nice guy. That's insane.
That's totally insane.
Anxiety. Like, I have a stomachache just even hearing about that.
Totally.
You know, in a kind of, in a weird not to, you know, hey, what about me? but when he said that he went to the hospital and they were, like, ready. Remember on the when the Wave Runner blew up on
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing. That happened to me. Like, when I got to the hospital, I walked in. Like, I just, you know, I didn't even go by Amazon. I just got a ride there. I walked in.
Yeah.
And they had a full trauma team all gowned up and ready to go. And they're like, you're the guy?
But how much of that is adrenaline?
Probably some, but I mean, I really wasn't hurt that badly. I was hurt, but not, you know.
Like
him with the ribs, I had some fractures. But, yeah, they're ready to, like, start sewing pieces back on.
They expect total carnage on something like that.
You walk in the emergency room, there was, like, five people all gowned up, and they're like, you're the guy? So that's what Kevin was saying, the same thing.
That is unbelievable.
Strange.
He's off giving estimates now.
Oh, look at that. Whips like off the air. I think his car actually runs.
He said, I have an estimate. I seriously thought that's what he was doing.
If Jeep doesn't do a commercial with this.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. Oh, my God. That would work.
He goes driving away. Oh, we're glad he's okay.
Oh, my God.
What a story.
Thanks, Kevin.
Say hello to Captain Dave. Hi, Captain Dave.
Hey, good morning.
How's it going?
All right, we never saw you last year.
I know. It was a thing, but you're still going next year, aren't you?
I'm assuming we are. You know, the ratings are still high,
right?
So I don't see any reason why we will not be.
That's right. Wicked Tuna, the 10th season. I use it to lay in bed each night and relax myself to sleep on the Nat Geo channel. This Sunday is your season premiere. Now, Captain Dave, this year you guys are all working together. You're not trying to drown TJ or Tyler?
Well, a little bit, but no, we all agreed to work together. It was a very complicated year. We were not able to fish 7 days a week. It was really a very limited demand for tuna. Most of the restaurants were closed.
Right.
They weren't closed. It was limited capacity. So the buyers agreed to only take fish 3 days a week so they could spread them out evenly for the 7 day period. And, you know, it's just that, you know, we all worked together for a common goal. That was to catch fish and make, you know, what money we could considering, you know, what's going on.
You trust those guys?
Yeah, I trust them. You know, we work together every year regardless, but, you know, this year more so than ever.
Marciano, you trust him?
I do.
Okay. You know what? I trust Marciano. I don't really trust Tyler, though.
You know, Tyler did help me out a bunch this year, as you will see. But, sure. Yeah, no, Tyler and I may have had our differences, but we put that on the wayside, and, just it's in the past, and, you know, looking forward to the present and the future.
Well, was it you or Sandros that was going to punch him? One of the two of you at one point, a couple seasons ago.
Everybody.
Yeah. Those are good times and good memories. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get out again. You're all working together. You're trying to catch the big fish. Without giving away too much, did you land a whopper this year, a big one? Did you get a big one?
Yeah, there was a lot of big fish caught. Yes, we did catch big fish, but we had some smaller ones too. Mm-hmm. Some boats caught all big fish, as you will see. So it's going to be a very exciting season. The dynamic is definitely different, you know, like I said, with us working together. So a lot of fish caught, a lot of fish lost, a lot of mishaps. Mm-hmm. And this season they put together 20 episodes.
Oh,
it's going to be a lot of good fishing and a lot of good drama to watch.
Now, Nikki has just joined us here in the studio from the radio station. She hasn't seen the show, and I'm trying to explain to her the size of these fish. Can you tell Nikki in your career, what's the biggest fish that you pulled on board?
The biggest fish that I've caught, ironically, was Sandro's very first day on the boat that he ever fished with me, and his very first fish.
Oh,
and
my God.
Just over 1,200 pounds.
Oh.
It was 128 inches long, if I remember correctly, which is 11 feet. And it took us 2 hours and 45 minutes. Now, that is a whopper of a fish.
Now, when you and Sandros get that fish on board and then you take it into port, is that good eating? Are you getting, per pound, are you killing it? Or the bigger the fish, do they start to, you know, not be as good eating? Because Nikki basically only knows it from a spicy tuna roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the bigger fish usually don't pay that much. It's usually not the best quality meat. It's usually red meat. It's very rubbery. And that fish, we only got $5 a pound, which is still good considering it's a big fish. You know, we had the weight, but we just didn't have the price, but it's still a decent paycheck. Most of the fish that are good quality are that 300 to 500 pound dress weight fish. You know, we can get
only
300.
Cute and cuddly.
That is actually a small fish, but you know, we 10, 11, 12, $13 is a good price for a fish these days.
Now, when I watch the show, obviously they show me they show when you guys are catching fish. Now, if I were to go out with you, Captain Dave, how long are we generally talking between fish that we're sitting there all looking at each other, staring at the horizon, trying not to throw up? How long?
You know, there's a lot of downtime. You know, you're actually, you know, watching our highlights, the exciting moments.
Right.
If they played the show as it is, what we're doing most of the time, 90% of the time, which is nothing, you would rather be watching reruns of the Kardashians.
Aha! Mm-hmm. All right.
Captain, we asked
there's a lot of downtime.
We asked you last time, and you said something that I found shocking, which is I think you've never tried a piece of seafood before. You don't eat fish.
That's correct, 100% correct. I actually had seafood this summer with my customers at the marina, mm-hmm. having lunch when we came in. They ordered a chip platter, and I was just dipping the chips in the dip there. Uh-huh. My girlfriend was there,
uh-huh.
and they're all laughing at me, and they were filming it. And I was just eating one after another, and little did I know, it was clam dip.
Oh, so you broke your thing by accident.
How'd you feel about that?
But when I found out it was clam dip, that was the last one I ate.
Oh, my God.
Well, my follow-up question to that was going to be, do you ever, when you're relaxing, you're not on the clock, you're just figure out something to do on a Saturday, you ever go fishing?
No.
What I thought.
Uh-huh. What do you do to pass the time? You a big golfer up there?
No, I'm a big skier. I ski in the winter here from late November, early December, all the way through around middle of April, right before we begin fishing. I ski probably 5 days a week.
Okay, now, before we let you go, Captain Dave, I really want to nail down this visit to the FVTuna.com. What's a good time for me to come to Gloucester or Worcester? Or which stir are you in? Which one are you in?
Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Gloucester. Gloucester, however you choose to say it. Best time for you to come, like I said, is November and December.
Okay. Right.
And the reason I say that is all the way through the beginning of November, we're booked with customers. We have absolutely 0 days available. But after that, we save late in the middle of November and December for us, just my crew and I, and for people that that we invite.
And you supply the Dramamine, right? So when I'm throwing up over the side, I'm okay.
We got it all. All you got to do is show up.
All right, perfect. All right, we're going to be watching on Sunday, Captain Dave, this Sunday, 8 Central on National Geographic Wicked Tuna's 10th season of Catching Fish. You're the best. Thanks for the time.
All right, man. We'll see you later. See you Sunday.
All right, I'm going to go.
I know you are.
You want to go with?
Sure.
You don't want to go.
Let's bring the whole show.
Nikki's like, what about, do they actually show the Kardashians during
do people talk during all that downtime? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, no, you just sit.
Silence? Like, just total silence.
For hours.
It's like a real fishing trip.
Just sit there and all look at each other and get sunburned. It's great.
No.
Thanks for listening to the Eric in the Morning podcast. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a moment of Eric in the Morning on 101.9 The Mix Chicago.